The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I think Nicholas has a children's sermon this morning.
Good morning, St. Paul. Good morning, children, to everyone here in the sanctuary and everyone listening over the radio. Thank you for being here in attendance. It's good to be back. Today, I hold two objects in my hands. In my left hand, I hold a blue and white sword, and in my right hand, I hold a black and red sword. There's a lot of amazing things that happen in the story of Jesus that Pastor Tim just read. But the one thing that I want to focus on is verses 12 and 13, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit immediately moved Jesus to go into the desert. And there he was in the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tempted by Satan on day number 40. Kids, if you don't know anything about deserts, here's two things you need to know. Number one, it gets Texas heat summer. That's how hot it gets. But 10 degrees hotter than that. So you all know what a Texas summer feels like? Hotter than that. Second thing, at night, it gets drastically cold. How cold? Remember how cold it was a few days ago? That cold. So all those temperatures Jesus is fighting, he's doing this. He's not hungry. Allegedly, he's not drinking any water. So for 40 days, Jesus is tired. And on day 40... he's exhausted. He doesn't want to fight at all. But the devil comes to him, and the devil tries to trick him and manipulate him. St. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, says the Holy Bible is like a sword. Kids, what do you do with the sword? You use it to defend yourself. You use it to attack something that's attacking you. So the devil and Jesus had a sword battle. They had a spiritual battle. And in the end, Jesus won. The only reason Jesus won is because he knew the Holy Bible inside and out. For instance, one of the times the devil tried to trick Jesus, he took Jesus up to a tower and said, "I want you to jump off because it says in your Father's book that the angels will come down, save you, and you will not strike the ground." That comes from the book of Psalms. That's a real verse, 94:9, I think. It's either 94 or 95. So the devil was quoting the Bible to Jesus. And Jesus said, "For it also says in my Father's book, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." And then the devil took him away from the tower, took him to a tall mountain, and said, "Jesus, you see all of the earth beneath us. If you bow down to me, I will give this to you." And Jesus looked at the devil and said, "In my Father's book, in the laws of Moses, it says, do not worship any other God besides my God, my Father, the Lord who has created me and saved me." And then he looked at Satan and said, "Be gone." So while those two had a conversation face to face, in reality, both of those were having one giant sword fight. Today, that sword fight, that spiritual battle is still going on for you kids. God wants you in heaven with him. The devil doesn't like you, and he wants to take you away from God. So what do? Well, some of us come to Sunday school, we go to confirmation, we try to memorize the books of the Bible, we try to memorize different Bible verses. What we do is come to Sunday school, or we come to church, and we prepare our swords, because we're going to need these when we step out, and we're out all on our own. And just like the devil came to Jesus, the devil's going to come to you. And when he comes to you, you need to be prepared and ready to fight. just like Jesus was. But you don't need to worry. What's going to happen? Am I going to say the right thing? Of course you're going to say the right thing. Because the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the truth, and the Spirit of the truth will always point you back to our Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for being here. I am so glad to see you once again. It was terrible being sick. Wear your mask and stay safe out there. Pastor Tim.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you heard any good news lately? After this week, we've had plenty of bad news with cold weather coming in, with slick roads, power off, water off, grocery shelves empty. I guess some good news is that it is starting to warm up. But then you have water pipes that need to be fixed, or branches that have come down in the ice storm. And we've just come through a rough year this last year with all the political strife, with COVID-19 disease striking people, with people being sick, people dying, with racial tensions and all the other things that have gone on this year. Have you heard any good news? And if you have heard good news, do you know that if it's true or not? We don't know a lot of times who to trust. Where's the good news? Where is the real news? Where is the news that is reliable or trustworthy? Where can we get good news? Here in Mark's gospel, Mark doesn't start with a birth narrative of Jesus. He starts with John the Baptist. And this morning in our gospel lesson, we pick up in chapter 1 at verse 9, and that's where Jesus is baptized. Baptized in the River Jordan, and as he comes out of the waters, a voice says from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And immediately then, it says, the Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and there he is tempted. And after that, then, it says, Jesus goes out proclaiming the good news. The kingdom of God is near. Good news. How do we know something is good? How do we know that it's reliable? How do we know that it's trustworthy? You know, we hear so much news today, we're not sure what to believe. And we know that a lot of the news is not true. And we have become skeptical. When we hear something, we've been burned too many times. We found out it's not true. Or if it sounds too good to be true, a lot of times we've learned it really is. It's not true. But here in our gospel lesson, where it says Jesus went to proclaim the good news, we know that it is trustworthy. We know that it is reliable. We know that it is good. For one reason we know is because it comes from God himself. It comes from the very source of goodness. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created the sun and the moon, and he said it was good. He separated the land from the waters, and he said it was good. He filled the seas with the fish and all the other creatures, and he said it was good. He filled the land with birds and with all the creepy things. And he said, it was good. And then he created all the animals that roamed through the earth. And he said, it was good. And then he created humans, male and female. And he said, it is very good. This source of goodness, this source of life, this source of everything that we know is good. And not only that, God continues to be with us in our lives. He continues to watch over us. He continues to watch and see how things are going. Unfortunately, though, he was unpleased, or he saw how rough things were. When people rejected God, when people rejected the goodness, when people fell into sin, God saw that There was a need of a Savior. He still was involved with us. He still wanted the best for us. He still wanted us to have life. And so he promises a Savior. We know that this good news of the kingdom of God is good because God is more willing to have mercy and to see that we live than to render out punishment. And so he sends his son to bring that message of good news. And we know that's good news because it is his only son. Again, here in Mark, when Jesus was baptized, God says, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." So he sends that message with Jesus Christ that God is watching over us, that God is prepared to take care of us, that God wants to make us right again. And so Jesus goes out proclaiming that message. It's what he does as soon as he is baptized and as soon as he passes through all those temptations, he immediately goes out and starts to proclaim the good news about God. But we also know that this is good news, not just because God is good or not because the message is good, but we know too that it is true. It is reliable, it is trustworthy, because Christ himself is the message. We look at that life of Christ, of what he did, and of the things that he did for all of us. When Jesus came out, he started talking about who God was, reminding them that God was a God of mercy, a God of forgiveness, a God of love, willing to call all of us back into the kingdom. As Jesus went out, he not only spoke about it, but he also acted. He healed people. He touched the untouchable. He talked to those that nobody else would talk to. He welcomed the lonely and the stranger. He was there to bring people up. He was there to raise people up from the dead. All these things that Jesus did is a sign of who he is. He is the good news. Jesus Christ himself is the good news. And then Jesus went to the cross for us. He completed that plan of salvation for us. He went to the cross and he died on that cross, taking all of our guilt, taking all of our sin, taking all of our punishment upon himself and dying. And then rising to new life, giving us the promise that we have been made whole, that we have been made right with God, and that we too will raise up with him. We also know that this is good news and that it is reliable and that it is trustworthy when it becomes a part of us. We see what Christ has done. We hear what Christ has done. We know what God has done within our lives. And when we bring it into ourselves, whether we see it, whether we hear it, whether that Holy Spirit calls us into it, we understand it then. And when we start to understand it, it starts to go to our hearts. It fills our hearts with that good news of that love of Jesus Christ and that mercy of God. It fills us and it becomes who we are. It makes us whole. It makes us what God intended us to be. Once again. And when we start to trust that, when we start to live it, then we know it truly is good news. Because when bad news hits us, such as storms, or such as disease, or illness, or injury, accidents, hateful words from other people, even when those storms come at us, we still have good news within us because God has filled us with that good news. And we use that good news then too to go out and proclaim it some more so that other people can see it, so other people can hear it, so other people will know that God is a God of mercy, he is a God of forgiveness, he is a God of love, and that his son, Jesus Christ, is that good news, and that that Spirit is filling all people. We know that it is good news. It is true. and it is reliable. And we proclaim that good news to the rest of the world. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.